August, September meeting in the city and borough of Langley, Alaska, on September 8, 2015 at 7 PM. With pledge of allegiance this evening will be led by family member Danny Hoyt, after which the invocation will be given by a member of the Baha'i faith. If you remain standing for that.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, justice and equity.
O thou merciful God, O thou who art mighty and powerful, O thou most kind Father, these servants have gathered together, turning to thee, supplicating thy threshold, desiring thine endless bounties from thy great assurance. They have no purpose save thy good pleasure. They have no intention save service to the world of humanity. O God, make this assemblage radiant. Make the hearts merciful, confer the bounties of the Holy Spirit. Endow them with the power from heaven, bless them with heavenly minds. Increase their sincerity so that with all humility and contrition they may turn to thy kingdom and be occupied with the service to the world of humanity. May each one become a radiant candle. May each one become a brilliant star. May each one become beautiful in color and redolent of fragrance in the kingdom of God.
Thank you. We have no ceremonial matters this evening. Roll call, please.
Assembly Member Blake?
Here.
Petanka? Green? Decker?
Here.
Powell?
Here.
Mitchell?
Here.
And Mayor Beck?
Here. Amendments to the agenda. Are there any amendments to the agenda? Yes.
I would like to add an item which just came up kind of this weekend, so couldn't get it on the regular agenda, but concerning the timber sale at the Institute property.
Okay. And we can add that in. New business as item 13D. I assume you want the discussion and possible action. Item 4, conflict of interest. Anyone have a conflict of interest on any item on the agenda? Consent agenda.
I make a motion we approve the minutes. Approve the consent agenda item 6A.
Thank you. Then we'll move in second. Any discussion? Yes.
I just saw an error in the date on the top of the, I think it was the public hearing.
I fixed it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Welcome. Just so you know, people read them.
I appreciate that.
It's like a test. It's like a new test.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Any public discussion? Call please.
Yes.
Mitchell?
Yes.
Blake?
Yes.
Decker?
Yes.
And Mayor Beck?
Yes. Communications. Since I didn't have a percentage.
Oh,
right. Borough Manager's report.
I have a couple of items, so I'll let Marla go ahead and go first.
Thank you for the opportunity to bring you an update on Rangel Medical Center, primarily focusing on finances. Doran Hammett was going to be here tonight, but he's not getting back to the council tomorrow. So I told him that would be fine. I can take it tonight. So the things that are going on right now, they're newsworthy. There's a problem with the Medicaid system again. As you may recall, there was a long period of time where the payments for Medicaid were very erratic, and some organizations went for long periods without getting paid. We're not back to that situation, but there is something that's not working within the system, so that for 3 weeks none of the long-term care payments from Medicaid have been distributed. So I think it's just in Alaska. I think it's just our state's Medicaid system. I don't think it goes beyond that, but it does mean that's a very big amount of our normal revenue. So for 3 weeks, that hasn't been coming in. We're not getting panicked about it because there is news that we believe that we will find out tomorrow that we might start getting payments again beginning Friday. So that's what's going on with that. I don't know what the issue is, but we're in really close touch with them. And one of the learnings that came out of the last more serious situation was just the more closely we communicate with Medicaid, the better it seems to go especially for the small hospitals. So we're trying to make sure that we do our part there. So while I'm talking about that, I will mention our cash position, which right now, as of today, we have $571,169 in the bank, cash on hand. But because of this non-payment thing, which we think has probably cost us probably $250,000, if that weren't happening, we think we would have significantly more, $8,500 roughly, something like that, which would be the same as what we did in August. So our cash position has dramatically improved from where we were 6 months ago. The money is flowing more steadily now, and it's probably partly because of TrueBridge, even though they're just now starting to do the billing. All this work that has to be done at Wrangell Medical Center in advance of what they do, we've been gearing up for that so that we have a much better stream of processes that result in more timely payments. For example, we are doing a better job of closing the books, you know, at the time. We're doing a better job of closing the distance from when the service occurs to when the bill goes out. So there are just some things that are really better. But to me, the most important thing is how our team is doing with it. They're handling it. It's a big change, and they're handling it extremely professionally. They're on board. The first couple of weeks was a little bit weird because some of the work that they did day after day went away. There were some other things that were new, but the attitude of the staff that's involved with this has been very positive when I asked them how it's going. So we're still assessing it day by day to make sure that it's, you know, that we're doing the best we can to make it as easy transition for our employees as possible. But I'm really proud of how engaged they are with this, and I think getting some results makes it even more positive. So there will still be some change coming that's not all over, but I think we've gotten through the hardest part, which is making the big leap to a completely different kind of system. So and then another separate item, as you probably recall, we've reported in the past about our Medicare cost report and then subsequent audits that have changed the amount that we either get or have to pay. And this last year, it's been mostly pay. So we are ready for that to be done and then move on to the next chapter. But we just recently got another update from another auditor at Medicare that said that he reviewed some of the calculations. Some of the numbers were missing or something on their side, so he reviewed it all over again and came up with a different number that we needed to pay, which was more. So our auditor, our cost report preparer, I mean, he's back and forthing with the Medicare auditor, and he thinks that it actually is going to be more, but not as much more as what they're saying. So that's the kind of thing that occurs. It's not just us, but it is it's a little bit kind of hard to know what you have because it's a moving target. Once we get this finalized, which should be soon, then that should be put to rest. Because what I'm talking about now is that whole collection of the cost report completion, the audit of 2013, and then the audit of 2014, and that should all be case closed at that point. So that's where we're at with that. And I think those are, let's see, just looking at my notes to make sure I haven't missed anything. Oh, on October 12th is when Robert Rang, the new CEO, will be arriving in Wrangell. I really hope that you'll all get to meet him if you haven't already. I'm planning to, I'll still be here until the end of October, so we'll have a 3-week overlap, which will be plenty of time. And what I'm planning to do is just vacate the office so he can move right in and assume his post, and then I'll be located elsewhere in the building. There's a lot of other things that I can do in terms of like just getting some things tidied up with contracting and different things. And then I'll just be right there if you have questions or need help with anything while he's getting settled in. So, and then imagine that first week, I'll probably continue to do what I do every day so that he can have time just to meet people and get settled and get acquainted with people. So that's what's going to be going on the week of October 12th. And then the next 2 weeks, I'll turn it over to him pretty much completely, with the exception of whatever he might need from me, I'll be there to help with that. And I think by the end of that third week, he'll feel completely ready to go. So any questions about that? Okay. And then the last thing is that on October 27th, we are on track to have a work session with you all. It'll be Doran and myself, and probably Robert, our new CEO. And the purpose is just to, again, have another opportunity to spend a little bit more focused time on our finances and looking into the future of what we think that Wrangell Medical Center will need in order to still be here 30 years from now, 50 years from now. So I will be going to the ASHNA annual meeting, which is coming up in a couple of weeks. And I'm hoping at that meeting that I can gather more information, because there are a lot of small hospitals, same situation we're in right now, and they're actually pulling together, they've called on a few, what would you say, just people that have experience with this, and they've asked me to participate in this group to try to pull together as much as we can what we know about the sustainability of small hospitals so that they can put together some helpful information to share with all the hospitals. So things are really looking quite good right now, and that's my report.
Any questions? On the October 27th, the work sessions, will there be some hospital board members here also?
I imagine they will be, because it will, unlike the last time, this will be information that we will have shared with them already. So I'm hoping that they will be able to attend too.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. I just had one comment, though. When you said you were going to a meeting, yeah, I hope you're not using your own funds for that, as in the past. I mean, we're not that broke.
I am not going to do that this time, but I am going to
the CEO at
Petersburg and I are going to do some economizing by sharing some hotel space and that kind of thing. So
I have no problem with economizing.
Yeah.
But we're not
that
broke.
Yeah,
Yeah. Just a couple things off my written report. The police department did get a grant for a new 911 system. So they have a grant of $235,000. That with the, we have a pending boat sale for a boat they seized a while back. And so between those two amounts, Doug's pretty positive that we can get that system installed and updated. And so that was good news. The contractor program started September 1. We got names through the month of August, and then we started September 1. Unfortunately, Kim is out advertising again. We only got a handful of people. So it's almost like the whole idea of this was to spread this out over more people. And currently, there's several things that if we needed someone, we'd have to get it off the list because that occupation isn't on the list. So we'll keep encouraging people to get on the list so we have all their paperwork. And but anyway, we'll start that, and hopefully people, I guess if they don't get a job, they don't have anybody to blame but themselves, because all they got to do is sign up. So But other than that, I think Kim has done a good job of organizing that, and I think hopefully it runs smooth. There's a couple of little quirky things that have come up, but I think we'll just kind of deal with them as we go, and then down the road we'll make a change to the policy when we see things that aren't working and or need changed or questions that come up that we haven't thought of. But I think everything should work reasonably well. And I think that's about it.
Any questions, comments? Thank you. Borough clerk's file.
No, nothing other than what's on my report. I'm excited about the election coming up. I'm very excited that we have a full ballot. So the school board is a race running there. So anyhow, but we are advertising for the vacancies on the upcoming boards and committees. So I'm hoping that we'll get more interest. I only have received two letters so far.
I suspect we'll get more interest after the election, if that measure passes.
Well, for the boards and commissions, for planning and zoning, yes, but the other ones don't require that.
But I think a lot of people are kind of confused about that, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anything?
No.
Thank you. Item 10, Mayor Assembly Reports and Appointments. Does any Assembly member have any report? I think, okay. We have item 2B, Appointments to Fill the Vacancy on the Planning and Zoning Commission. There were no letters of interest received for that vacancy, so we'll continue to advertise for that. Item 10C, an appointment to fill a vacancy on the Rainbow Medical Center Board. There are also no letters of interest for that. However, there are only two positions on the hospital board that are open, and one of them is for a non-expired term.
Can we explain that?
Yes, please.
So, because of the way that our code reads and the hospital board policy reads, we had to advertise. So for this vacancy, that person would have sat just this one meeting, and that's it. So the upcoming election will have the two.
I don't know whether this is proper or not, because Maxine Wiederspoon has put her name in for the election as a candidate, and apparently she's shown some interest, and without objection, I'll go ahead and appoint her to that seat, since she's going to obviously get elected anyway, since there's nobody running against her.
I mean, I suppose we can, the Assembly can appoint her, or you can, appoint her, and then, if she comes in and takes her oath of office,
when's the next meeting? Is it tomorrow?
No, it's next week, right?
Next week.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there'll be time enough for that. You can find out if she's
interested. Sure. Yeah.
Sounds good. She may as well get her feet wet if she comes here. Does anybody have any other problems there?
No.
Okay.
Great.
Okay, the next item is persons to be heard. This is an opportunity for any member of the public in the audience to speak on the item that is on the agenda. When the agenda item comes up, you will not have the opportunity to speak on it unless the Assembly has specific questions regarding the item. I know that Mike Allen is here for one item, and I'm sure he will be called on to speak. So, unless you want to say something now. Okay. There's nobody else that's on the list.
There's a blank piece of paper.
Okay, we'll go on to unfinished business. Proposed ordinance number 906, an ordinance of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Langville, Alaska, amending Chapter 10.46C, prohibition of consumption of marijuana in a public place, amending the violation of such an offense. This is a second reading.
Move to adopt ordinance number 906.
Second.
Been moved and second. Is there any discussion? Roll call, please.
Assembly Members Mitchell?
Yes.
Blake?
Yes.
Decker?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
And Mayor Gass?
Yes. Proposed ordinance number 907. An ordinance of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Langley, Alaska, amending the minor offense fine schedule in Chapter 1.20, General Penalty of the Langley Municipal Code. This is the second reading.
Move to adopt ordinance 907.
Second.
Been moved and second. Any discussion? Roll call, please.
Assembly Member Blake?
Yes.
Decker?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
Mitchell?
Yes.
And Mayor Gass?
Yes. Item 12C, discussion and possible action to change the property tax payment due date previously adopted by ordinance number 901 on May 26, 2015.
We have to move to do something on that? Or is this discussion?
Discussion.
Just discussion. Anybody got anything, further to discuss on that?
Okay, is this the one where we discuss the dates?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So what can I
go ahead? Sure, go ahead.
Oh. Just so we know where we're at.
Okay.
So for this year, you've already passed something that temporarily allows people to pay the first half by on or before September 15th for the first half and the second half on or before December 15th. And that's a one-year thing. The current ordinance, the way it's written now, would be a one-time payment in the years to come for September, on or before September 15th of each year. So there seemed to be some interest about possibly a different date. So I think I sent out to the Assembly, I don't know if it's included in here, but just what other towns do. I would say the majority of them do there's a couple that do a two-payment thing. The majority of them do it in one payment in September sometime, either the 1st, 15th, or the 30th. The discussion was kind of geared around, I think, to do it when the permit fund dividends come out. We kind of looked at it September 15th as the end of construction season, the fishing season, the tourism season, those kind of things, as that is when most people are going to have the most money that they have, probably during the year. So that's kind of why we targeted that, and also trying to get the tax payments in the city coffers within the first quarter of our fiscal year. So that was kind of the reasoning behind September 15th. And then the concern, I think, also is that, you know, to me, it might be with the state, it might be a crapshoot that there is a dividend here in the near future with the situation the state's in. So if you kind of gear payment dates and stuff around things that may or may not happen, and like I said, we try to do it around other economical events in town, people working, because that was a logical route to go, but there has been some discussion about changing it to a different date.
Yes, I have had a few people call me and discuss the two payments. Some of them, most of them that are concerned with it are on a fixed income, low income, and they're not happy with the one date. I sat down with them and explained, you know, if you get a whole year to save for it, that it really shouldn't make any difference, but it seems that may be difficult for some of them to do. So I'm still getting a lot of people that want to see a two-payment system stay in place.
Even with the way it's written right now with the one payment, they can still make two payments if I'm not incorrect in that. They can go ahead and pay half of it in June and then half of it September 15th.
Yeah, in June, if some, we have people now that pay, just say, here's a chunk of money, any time during the year, and it's called a prepayment. We don't know at that time, sometimes, what the assessment is or what the, but they kind of know from year to year. It's not usually doesn't change a lot. So if last year it was $1,000 and so if they put down $500, they're probably going to be pretty close to half. And then they can make the second payment in September if they wanted to. But there's just a lot of reasons for the one payment. I know that we talked to the banks or the people that collect the money for the banks. Anybody that has a loan and pays it through their loan, they much prefer it one payment. It gets complicated when you're standing there at the counter, someone comes in to pay, and say they pay in January after the fact. So then you figure out, you're figuring penalty and interest on the first half, and half of it isn't due, so you don't have penalty and interest on that. Then you get the second half and calculate that, so you're doing two different things, and that gets, you know, it's just more things. It's about 1,800, we have about 1,800 bills we send out. So if you have two payments, that's not everybody. Some people used to pay in one payment anyway. But so you have that many more transactions in the office there that you process, which we do. I think the big things for us were mainly getting us out of the summer rush. That August was when we had our auditors here every year. It was just one more thing that just, it was just crazy here that week. And so that was one goal. The other one, I think, was just this one payment system. So, but if the assembly wanted to make it, you know, October 15th or September 30th or September 15th, I don't think we really care. But I think we would prefer one payment. And if it was October 15th, that would be, if there was still a dividend, certainly they could plan on that. So.
So basically, just by doing a little bit of the research and stuff on the one payment, it costs me a lot less money to do the one payment than the two payments also, if I'm correct, right?
I don't know if it costs a lot more. There's just...
No, I mean less money to do one payment.
Oh, yeah. Because, and I don't know if it's a lot more, but it certainly is less paperwork and less processing and less... complication to it, but
I've also I've talked with quite a few people too, and the one payment thing I kind of view it like Daniel says, you can make the payments anytime you want. I mean, it's if you can't make the one payment, but the people I've talked to, you know, just kind of got to me, it was, I just got on here, kind of just got really pushed really fast for me to do anything. I would like to see it go in accordance with our dividend. I mean, when the first dividend came out, how long have we had those things? 2000? Well, no, what is it? Shoot, 1981, was it?
Yeah.
I mean, we've seen, 800 is the lowest one we've ever seen, and from then, I mean, that's a long time to have a dividend. I understand that it could go away in some time in the future. I just don't think it's going to. And to make less burden on the people that, you know, have it, I would like to see it go where we do it like October. I think they come out October 1st. I think it's
direct
deposit.
Yeah.
So I would like to see it be our date change to the 15th. But I mean, to help the people out, I mean, that's what we're here to do, is to help the people and help, you know, make less burden for them also. But I mean, we're going to get the money no matter what. If it's less burden than them, and you know, I would like to see it changed to the October 15th date myself.
I'd like to just go ahead and make a motion to keep it as one payment and change the due date to October 15th.
Second.
I'm moving second. Any further discussion? Yes.
So what would happen is that I would contact the attorney, and we would have to review the ordinance, and then it would come back at the next meeting.
I would like to amend that a little bit, in that including the language of some type where it's clear to people that is just the due date they could pay before.
Well, we could put on or before.
I think that's
already
that.
Yeah.
You know, and not that, and it's not restricted to one month payment right then. So, you know, we like Dave said, we want to make it as easy people, you know, as far as I'm concerned, they can make a payment a month if they want to.
Yeah.
But, you know, I know that could create more work, but most people aren't going to do that.
Well, I just want to make sure that I'm clear. So having it say on or kind of say on or before, as it does, you want it to say something more than, because this is going to be in the code. And, I mean,
I would think it should be clear in the ordinance that people can pay more than... They're not restricted to paying on that date. They can pay before, and that they can pay it in installments. But I would restrict it to a little bit to the installments. I mean, that's what it's been now, is two payments, so people can still.
I mean, we've had people that are having trouble. And say we're on the foreclosure list or whatever, and they keep coming in with a few $100 and first there's more penalty and interest and all that, but until they're paid. So I think most people don't do that, but I think it's certainly we can do it now. I mean, if they wanted to make three payments now, they could have made one in July and August, as long as they kind of meet the various things.
Yeah, I know, like the federal taxes. You know, there's provisions that you can pay, especially on the business, that you can pay an estimated amount prior to the end of the year. So, I think we, like David said, let's make it easy for the people. The easier it is, the more likely they are to pay.
Yeah.
I don't know, Dave. Put that big chunk of money before we are.
Well, then you'll have to pay more.
Okay, so do we need to vote on that?
We should have some sort of motion. Can we have a stacker?
Yes.
Cal?
Yes.
Mitchell?
Yes.
White?
Yes.
And Mayor Gack?
Yes. Oh, okay. Well, moving on to new business then, item 13A, proposed resolution number 09-15-1329, resolution of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, designating canvas board duties to three assembly members for canvassing the results of the regular election to be held October 6, 2015.
Make a motion to adopt resolution number 09-15-1329, designating three assembly members to canvass the results of the regular borough election.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Any discussion? Hearing none, call vote please.
Assembly members Powell?
Yes.
Mitchell?
Yes.
White?
Yes.
Decker?
Yes.
And Mayor Gack?
Yes.
Mayor, if you don't mind, you set that meeting for 12. Is there any way we can do that at 12:15? Because that turned out to be a work day for me.
The canvas board meets at 1.
At 1? Okay.
Is that
I thought
okay?
You said 12. Yeah, that's fine.
O'clock. Special meeting.
Okay, proposed resolution number 09-15-1330. A resolution of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, urging the State of Alaska to file a petition for certiorari in the U.S. Supreme Court in response to the Ninth Circuit en banc panel's reversal of the Ninth Circuit regular three-judge panel's decision on the Thomas exemption from the religious rule.
I move to adopt resolution number 09-15-1330.
Second.
Then moved in second. Any discussion? Yes.
I've read through this. If we could get Assembly Member Decker to explain it a little bit more. I think I have the gist of it, but I just want to make sure.
Well, yeah. Maybe Justin helped me out here. But I think the hard part in understanding is just the back and forth. But, like, to boil it down, there's a Rosas rule that was put into place and it affected the Thomas National Forest. It's been basically been going back and forth whether the Thomas National Forest should be exempted from that Rosas rule for various reasons. We're sort of later on the development side of things. We don't have any other ways to access a lot of other things like, you know, renewable energy, our resources, getting places even in Thomas. So it's been going back and forth with the state suing the Forest Service and the Forest Service making different decisions about whether the Thomas would be exempt from this roadless rule. So the latest decision was by the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, and they said basically, no, it can't be exempted. This is after it's gone back and forth several times. So now the next level is to go to the U.S. Supreme Court, and they're asking a number of people, you know, our congressional delegation, Senator Stedman, other communities, Representative Dan Ortiz, people have been writing letters to the governor, Governor Walker, to basically kind of petition the U.S. Supreme Court to take this on as an issue that they would look at and determine whether the Congress should be exempt from the Rosas rule or not exempt from the Rosas rule. So that's basically what we're asking, is for Governor Walker to ask the U.S. Supreme Court to look at this issue, whether the Thomas National Forest should be exempted or not in the Rosas rule.
Okay. And Julie, would this affect timbering, of course, but would it have anything to do with the proposed road, if we ever built one?
To the bridge?
Canada and the U.S. Is this part of the same area?
I don't know if there's... I would imagine there's got to be. I mean, that's a new road. I don't know for sure. I don't know the answer to that for sure, but I would guess. It's even like reconstruction of roads. So it's, you know, it makes any kind of development difficult. I think that, in my opinion, one of the most striking things is in the P of the resolution, section P, and the total acreage of the Tongass is 16.8 million acres. Right now, without the Rosas rule, right now there's wilderness designation and other land set aside for 5.6 million acres of that. That's a third. The full one-third of the Tongass is completely off limits to development. Then if you put the Rosas rule on top of it, that's an additional 9.6 million acres. That's 90% of the Tongass then. So, I mean, it makes things just like even some of the roads around here on Wrangell Island weren't here for recreation before timber. I personally, from a public policy perspective, I look at, you know, there's a process you go through to determine if you want to have a timber sale or not, or mineral development or not, or energy development or not. This takes it completely away from the process. Just says, nope, none. And I think, you know, there should be a process where everybody gets to weigh in, not just take everything off the table. Or take such a significant portion off the table.
My opinion is that the Rosas rule violates the federal agreement anyway on the Congress.
Mm-hmm.
Under the National Lands.
ANILCA, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Any further discussion? Follow up.
Okay,
Yes.
Blake?
Yes.
Pepper?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
And Mayor Bass?
Yes. Item 13C, approval to hold a special assembly meeting on Monday, October 25th, or 12th, excuse me, October 12th, 2015 at 12 noon. That's where it says that. Yeah, it would be 1 p.m., right?
No, no. This one would be at noon. The can be formed at 1. This is the one.
Okay. All right. All right. Pardon me.
Okay.
At 12 noon to certify the election results from the regular election.
I move to approve a special assembly meeting to be held on Monday, October 12, 2015 at 12 noon to certify the election results from the regular election to be held on October 6, 2015.
Second.
We have moved and seconded. Yes.
That would be a work day for me. If we can get that changed to 12:30, that would be fantastic.
Is that okay for everybody else?
I won't be here.
Oh.
You wouldn't be here.
I'll write down the dates. I won't be here. And give them to you.
Okay. Because
I won't be here.
For everybody else that would be here?
Mm-hmm. So, do we need to amend it?
I'll make a motion to amend that motion and change the time to 12:30 p.m.
Second.
Then move to second. Vote on the amendment. Hold on, please.
Sure. Assembly Member Stecker?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
Mitchell?
Yes.
Blake?
Yes.
And Mayor Bass?
Yes.
Blake?
Go ahead.
Assembly Member Blake? Yes. Stecker?
Yes.
Mitchell?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
And Mayor Bass?
Yes. I should have said that that was... The second vote is to approve the
amendment.
As amended. Item 13B is a discussion on the timber sale.
Okay, Mr. Allen's in the audience here. If you have any questions when I'm done here, but basically what happened is Mike got done with the timber sale he had with us and was ready to move on, and I think Carol Bailey approached both him and me to see if he was concerned about the trees that were left there next to his property, and that the oftentimes you see when there's a timber sale, there's blowdown on the edges of these once other timber is gone, and there's a couple trees there that, there's several trees there that would certainly reach his house. There's a couple that are leaning towards his house that are of concern. We also, along the same lines, I got a complaint this weekend from a citizen that was concerned that we were cutting too close to a creek, that we were in violation of state and federal forest practices. So I went out there and talked to Mike and kind of stopped and we just bring it to the assembly. One of the pictures in this attachment, this Mike had informed me that Paul Swinkamp, who is the mental health guy that's kind of in charge of their land, timber sale. This picture here is the mental health timber sale, and that creek that was discussed runs right down the middle of it, and there's not a tree on either side of it. So it's not a fish stream, and it's not a stream where people get drinking water from, because everybody out there is on city water. So we feel we're certainly within our rights cutting next to the creek. Certainly mental health did, and I'm sure they went by their rules and state forestry rules and all those things that they're supposed to do. So we feel comfortable there. There's a couple other pictures here of this one here. Clay Hammer also went out there. This picture, he has some concerns. Again, same reason, they've got a power pole there. He would like to see that all down, just for the power reasons. Harold would like to see it so it doesn't go on his property. I also talked to our insurance agent, and what she said is generally if the rule of thumb is if it's a natural disaster kind of thing, there's trees blown down, you know, it's always kind of a gray area whether you're at fault or your tree fell on someone else's property. But she says it increases the fault or the liability issue if you've got trees in the situation that we had where it magnifies it because you cut some timber down and you've got trees that are leaners or rotten trees or anything like that that have more of a high probability of going down now that there's maybe more exposure to them with the wind. So, and there are a couple like that. So I think some of those may have to actually be taken down in chunks because they're leaning too far. I think most of the rest of it, I think, could be taken out without doing that. That's the case. And, you know, always the case is visibility of timber harvest areas where, you know, a fair amount of the public is doesn't want to look at that. And I don't know how, I don't know how many other trees that aren't that big that we could leave. I don't know if Mike can remember that, but there might be a little small buffer that we can leave that small trees are small enough. But there are some pretty good sized trees there that most all of them would reach Harold's house if they went that direction. So I guess what we're asking tonight is just the assembly to move forward. If Mike doesn't have to, it sounds like there's a few harvestable trees in there that would be worth commercial trees that, you know, he could use. So kind of a trade-off. The rest of it, he doesn't have any reason to cut. He's paying a cutter, equipment, all kind of other things. So I think we would be willing to exchange those trees for the other work he would do that he really wouldn't be getting anything. So if that ran into more than he thought, but I think he sounded like maybe right now that wouldn't be, you know, maybe be a break-even thing he'd be willing to do. But if there's more trees that had to be a climber go up and pop, you know, you pay more money for that. So I think it just depends on when he gets in there what's going to happen. But that's the situation, and we would like to certainly, for a 150-foot view area there, if you're going at 50 miles an hour on the highway, for a blink of the eye, you'd be past it, and I certainly wouldn't want to be part of anything that caused harm to a citizen or put power out for everybody out of town or any of those reasons. So that's our feeling. We certainly would ask Mike to try to keep any of the small stuff that, and you're always at risk when you're falling bigger stuff, that's going to crush it, but anything that's, you know, not that big, if we can try to keep that up and have, you know, some kind of a little small green belt there. But pretty much a lot of the big trees go right to the road, so we're kind of asking permission to move forward on that.
I make a motion to allow Jeff, the borough manager, to allow Mike to take what they need to take.
Second.
Then move and second. Any discussion?
Mayor?
Yes.
I think just like for clarity, your email that you outlined, I think, gives us a real good idea of what you're doing, and so within those guidelines, we're comfortable you can manage the situation.
Mike, when I went out there, there's a buffer about, I don't know, maybe 100 feet of poplar right along the front. I think if that little belt that borders the highway of those birch or poplars, whatever you want to call them, could be left, I think that would stop the visibility to the cut. And I don't think there's much timber in that. What do you think?
It's not that far down the road. It's pretty much from where the creek comes out by Harold's driveway. It goes down the road about 100 feet. And they're 30, 40 feet tall, little saplings or whatever.
Yeah.
Those would still be left. There's about 6 or 8 spruce trees within 50 feet of the road.
Yeah.
Either take a power line out or possibly a Harold's house.
It was those little saplings that I was looking at. And I think that's enough of a block.
I would think so.
Yeah.
So I looked at it too. I agree.
Any further discussion?
Assemblymember Stecker?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
Mitchell?
Yes.
Blake?
Yes.
And Mandak?
Yes. Item 14, attorney's trial. We have none. Item 15, executive session. There is none. Item 16, adjournment.
Yes.
Set over to 51.